Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Wednesday, a glorious Wednesday, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on iHeartRadio, we're on Fox Sports Radio, we are on FS1, and we are leaping into the NFL season starting tomorrow. And 1 hour from now, top of the next hour, 1 hour from now, I will make my final amendment on my NFL picks. This is it. Archive it. I changed, I think, six teams. So I went all in on this. This is my final predictions. We went 7-for-7 last year on the AFC playoff teams. Only got 3 or 4 of the 7 right in the NFC, which I think is a tougher conference to predict. But here we go. Joy Taylor is joining me. So I feel like almost today is the start of the NFL season. Like we're today.
Yeah, it's football eve. Merry football eve, everyone.
It is. Now, I am America's honesty broker. That's understood. And I don't like to play favorites, but there are certain athletes that put themselves out there a lot. And so I talk about them a lot. LeBron James goes on social media, talks about everything from politics to TV. He puts himself out there. And so I talk about him because he puts himself out there. If athletes are quiet or withdrawn and don't put themselves out there, I'm generally more reluctant to put them out there. Aaron Rodgers puts himself out there. He talks a lot, multiple media, has strong opinions, calls out his franchise. So he said this yesterday. He was talking to Pat McAfee. By the way, great guy. I love Pat. He's on Pat McAfee's show. And he says this about him wanting and deserving more say in personnel, the draft, the roster. Aaron wants that. And he talks about why he deserves that.
It should be, and it is natural. You know, it should be natural for a person of my status and age and experience, and it is. I think it really helps having, the other voices in the room. I mean, Maddie's like 41, Hackett's 40, Getsy's younger than I am by a few months. And the four of us, you know, put our heads together and talk through the plans and the ideas and the creativity. And it's a really good thing, I think, for our offense and for our room. To be able to have those conversations.
A person of my status. Slap me if I ever say that. Seriously. Slap me. For the record, Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback ever with Belichick. Phil Simms with Parcells didn't get really any say. How do I know that? Because I watched the Tom Brady documentary, which he had final say, I imagine, in editing. And he talked about his wife did not being respected. And I read multiple stories about how Tom left New England because he just wanted more say in the game plan. Forget the draft. Just in the game plan. That's the power he had. But I don't want to be snarky here. Aaron does enough of that for both of us. What is the mythical line on accreditation a quarterback needs to hit to be able to go to his GM and say, I want some strong opinions on personnel? What is that line? Is it you get to a Super Bowl as a quarterback? Oh, all right. So Jared Goff and Jimmy Garoppolo, they get a say in personnel. Colin, that is ridiculous. You have to win a Super Bowl, and then you get to go up to the GM and tell him what to do. Oh, really? So Nick Foles and Joe Flacco, they have as many Super Bowls as Aaron. Well, that is ridiculous. New rule, you have to be a Super Bowl quarterback. You have to get there. You have to be an MVP and be in multiple Pro Bowls. Oh, so Matt Ryan and Cam Newton can just walk into a general manager and tell them what to do. All right, I'm just trying to find the mythical line. You know, for a man of Aaron's status. By the way, his current status is four NFC championships. He's won one, hasn't been to a Super Bowl in 10 years. And oh, by the way, this offseason, he said he's 50-50 in retirement. Tom Brady didn't, despite his status, get much of a say on anything in New England, including the game plan, according to Tom. That one actually surprised me. You'd think Tom would kind of detail what he wants. So, new rule on this show. Any person in sports that talks about their status or stature, you can roll your eyes and I'll defend you. And number two is, Tom Brady's won seven of these puppies. He would never say anything like that. And also, ask yourself this. And I'm trying to be fair here. I'm not trying to be snarky. Aaron said 3 weeks ago, was quoted saying, I was 50-50 on whether I was going to play football or retire. Okay, so I'm going to give that guy a say in our personnel going forward? If Joey told me I was 50-50 whether I was going to show up and ever do the show again, I'd probably start picking the Herdline news stories for her. I'd probably want her to have less say in us going forward as a show. I mean, when you're building a company and the star is a 50-50, I may hang it up. I'll give you a say maybe today on some things like the game plan, but the future? I mean, if I went to my bosses, I don't know what my status or stature would have to be to go to the Murdochs and tell them I'd like a say in personnel moves, or even go to my superiors here. I'd like a say on who we hire. I mean, if I ever say I'm going to leave, I'm 50-50 on whether I want to come back to Fox, you think I'm going to get any power here on who we hire going forward? Who we interview? What the staff looks like? I mean, I'm trying to be fair on this. But a quarterback of my status, four NFC championships, you've won one, no Super Bowl in a decade, you're 50-50, could retire, want to host Jeopardy. I'm trying to be fair here. What's the line? If it's a Super Bowl, Goff should get a say. If it's winning one, it should be Flacco and Foles. If it's MVPs and Super Bowls and Pro Bowls, it's Matt Ryan. And how about quarterback's quarterback, GM's GM, owner's own, coach's coach? Doesn't mean you can't occasionally say, Aaron, what do you make of it? Aaron, come in here. What do you make of that wide receiver from Clemson? Ooh, I like him. All right, thanks, buddy. Go out and golf and do your thing. But it sounds like a lot of ego to me. That's what it sounds like. I cannot imagine other quarterbacks. I can't imagine Patrick Mahomes ever saying, a quarterback of my status. I just can't. I can't see Lamar Jackson saying that. Josh Allen, Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Brady. I just can't. But I want to be fair, so I'll move on. This is interesting. The NFL 100 Best Players Ever. The Athletic, a subscription service for writers, named the top 100 NFL players of all time. And I'm not going to bore you with a bunch of lists, but I'm going to talk about the top five. The top five was Tom Brady, Jim Brown, Jerry Rice, LT, and Reggie White. And I completely agree right down the list, even in order. I agree with that. One through five, I've got no issues. And you know what's interesting, what they have in common? They're all hard to explain. It doesn't make sense. If you're physically hard to explain, that is an incredibly rare space, even for great players. I mean, Tom Brady is 44. He's showing no signs of age. Jim Brown was the size of defensive lineman in his era, and yet was the most skilled player. Jerry Rice was not recruited by any elite powers, was never the fastest receiver in most games he played in, and you couldn't cover him. Deion Sanders couldn't cover him. Lawrence Taylor started his career in college as a tight end, and is probably the most unblockable player and relentless pass rusher in the history of football. And Reggie White, how is he that strong? He weighed 290 pounds. Has anybody ever figured out how Reggie White, in fact, he was 6'5 for a defensive lineman, which is too tall. It's hard to get good pad leverage. He wasn't even 300 pounds. He was 290. And he's the physically most dominating player I've ever seen. And that's the thing about Brady on the eve of yet another year for Tom. Arms, legs, mind, 44, still A. Some would say A+. Ben at 39, let's be honest, he kind of feels old. Drew Brees at 38, 39, 40, felt old. Phillip Rivers last year at 39 looked really old. Peyton Manning near the end. You're like, that's old Peyton. We've got young Peyton, we got old Peyton. Aaron Rodgers is 37. Now, he doesn't play old, but he is talking about retirement, so that kind of sounds old, right? Like, he sees himself as a guy that's going to move away sooner than later. Tom Brady has now moved into a category that sort of defies explanation. It's kind of extraordinary. Like, how do you explain his drive? Close with his family, you know, very normal childhood in Northern California. He's a good baseball player, good football player, gets along with his sister and his mom and his dad. He's not in it for money. I mean, he's had two real strong relationships we know about. That feels normal as an adult, 44. He's got nice kids, really into his family and his football. He wasn't a number one pick. His college life, he wasn't a superstar in college. Overlooked by a couple of coaches, sometimes played well, sometimes didn't play. That's very common in college sports. He really defies explanation. Never gets in trouble, never says the wrong thing, incredibly coachable, not driven by money, not the strongest arm, not the greatest athlete, and he's easily the greatest quarterback of all time. So when you list the top 100, Brady, Jim Brown, Jerry Rice, LT, and Reggie White. I completely agree, 1 through 5, and all have one thing in common, and it's very rare for even great players. If it doesn't make sense, if you can't really explain it physically, that's an all-timer. All right, great to have you in today. We all know of the value of quarterbacks. That's not, I'm not going to argue about that. But, I said this yesterday to somebody. Is it possible even the great ones are a little overvalued? And I'm going to give you some examples. And I think you'll be surprised by this because I was surprised this morning as we prep for the show.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
The Herd brought to you by Jersey Mike's Subs on a Wednesday. Be a sub above. So Mac Jones is starting for the New England Patriots. Cam has been moved on and kind of awaits word on his next team. And I did say I'm making my in 45 minutes from now, I'm making my final changes, my final amendment to my NFL predictions. And New England's a team that I think is really, for the first time in 20 years, they're going to be better than what people think. And we usually know they're good. But I hear a lot of people saying, well, Brady's gone. It was a mess last year. Yes, last year was 8 opt-outs, no preseason, COVID, a tsunami of weird, and I think Belichick, not that he checked out, but he just saw it as, listen, we were great for 20 years. Let's go spend some money in free agency. Let's get some picks right. Let's teach our kids. This happens. Like, Japan's had a lost economy, right? It was a lost season for Belichick, and they just kind of revamped. And I think they're going to be really, really good this year. So Mac Jones was talking that he's not surprised he's starting. He got a lot of reps, and here he is.
Like I always say, I prepare to be the starter, and like every day you come in, and I got a chance to get a lot of reps, so nothing really changes, just trying to be a good teammate, trying to learn the plays every day, and fix what I messed up on, and listen to Josh and all the guys in the quarterback room and just take the advice.
It's interesting how often you lose a legendary quarterback, and you're actually okay. I'll give you an example. There's always been this belief that, Dan Marino left Miami. They could never get it right. Actually, Dan Marino left Miami. They made the playoffs the next 2 years. Well, John Elway left Denver. That's interesting. They had a one-year rebuild, and they were then 11-5. And those are the examples we use. You cannot replace Elway. They've never replaced Marino. No, they were a playoff team. Roger Staubach, probably the most underrated quarterback of my life. Great, great player. The face of the Dallas Cowboys, the number one brand, left the Dallas Cowboys. The next year, they were 12-4 with Danny White. Seriously. Joe Montana, the GOAT before Tom Brady left. Next year, they were 10-6 with Steve Young. Well, Peyton Manning, yes. The year after he left, they had Andrew Luck. They weren't even a well-run franchise, and they went 11-5. Brett Favre, what about Brett Favre? Okay, that was a one-year rebuild. I'm not saying you get it right the minute, but they found the right guy, Aaron Rodgers, and within 1 year, they were a playoff team. Joe Theismann. Remember Joe Theismann? He was really good. Probably the best quarterback ever not in the Hall of Fame. That's the feeling. MVP, Super Bowl winner, not in the Hall of Fame. Probably the best, most accomplished quarterback ever not in the Hall of Fame. He left the next year, 12-4. Year after that, they won the Super Bowl. Okay, so it ain't that hard. It happens all the time. You don't even have to be well-run. Here's what we know about New England. Their running game production, their offensive line, their special teams and their defense will all be top five. And they have the best coach in the game and arguably the best offensive coordinator. They're going to win a bunch of games. They're going to win a bunch of games. I mean, their division's better, but the Jets are still the Jets. Miami doesn't love their quarterback. I can tell that because they got into the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. And it should be noted, Buffalo's really, really good, but has yet to develop a pass rush in 3 years. So, you know, that's kind of important if you want to make Mac Jones look bad. Put pressure on him. And they're not able to, and this is New England's best offensive line. So nobody is disputing or discounting the value of a quarterback. But it is pretty remarkable from Elway to Staubach to Brett Favre to Joe Montana to the great Peyton Manning, John Elway, Joe Theismann. Oh, by the way, Jim Kelly. There's a feeling like Jim Kelly left and the Bills never recovered until Josh Allen. No, it was a one-year rebuild. In Buffalo, when Jim Kelly, the great Jim Kelly, left, he was great in two football leagues, the USFL, the NFL. He leaves, one-year rebuild. They made the playoffs the next 2 years with Doug Flutie. It's possible. And in New England's case, probable. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, the Saints cut running back Latavius Murray just days before the start of the regular season.
Good player.
Yes. He reportedly refused to take a pay cut, which is what led to the move. He had 2 years remaining on his contract with cap hits of $4.176 million and $4.3 over those two seasons. The Saints were very much up against the cap, so they were in one of the worst situations in the league, if not the worst. So they'll save $2.327 million in cap space by cutting him, which is very crucial because they were just $2.1 million under the cap entering the year.
He's a good number two back. I mean, he's a really solid. Now, we talked about this, Joy. I can't believe Baltimore hasn't made a call.
Well, Josina Anderson tweeted that she spoke with Murray and he's willing to talk to anyone who's interested in him, but Baltimore was mentioned as a potential match. They lost J.K. Dobbins and Justice Hill to season-ending injuries, so they are very thin. They have Gus Edwards as their number one running back right now. But his 2020 season, 146 carries, 656 yards, four touchdowns,
it's a nice
173 receptions.
Yeah.
So, yes, he is a great backup, actually, and would be huge for a team that's very thin. Outside of Baltimore, they signed Le'Veon Bell to their practice squad yesterday. According to Pro Football Focus, the five worst situations for the running game heading into the season are the Jets at 32, Dolphins, Falcons, Texans, and Cardinals. So they actually don't even have the Ravens very low, or at least at the bottom of the league. But obviously, Lamar Jackson contributes a lot to the running game.
Listen, Atlanta is a really interesting spot because he can catch the ball. And between Kyle Pitts and Calvin Ridley, Matt Ryan, a new offensive coordinator as coach, and I would say a good solid offensive line. Latavius Murray, again, I'm not building my franchise around it, but, I can give him nine carries a game and two catches? Absolutely.
No, but especially if you're thin at running back, you know what you have in him. I'm sure the Saints didn't want to lose him. He's been a big part of their offense, backing up Alvin Kamara, or being the number two to Alvin Kamara, but they can't afford him. So I don't think it was a situation where they don't feel like he's good enough to make the roster. It's just they're in a terrible salary cap situation, and he'll end up somewhere very soon, I'm sure. And be very productive this year. So a panel of NFL executives, scouts, and coaches were asked to give their preseason predictions for who will win each major award in the league this season. And here were their choices. A lot of buzz for Josh Allen for MVP. And yeah. I got to say, I don't hate it because FoxBet has Josh Allen as the third best odds to win MVP with Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. I see people are really high on Aaron Rodgers for MVP too. I can't even imagine the spectacular nature of a season that he would have to win back-to-back MVPs. Like that feels dramatic. Well, and generally the NFL MVP is not really a narrative award, but that seems like a lot. So I actually like Josh Allen at the odds for MVP.
They have Christian McCaffrey as the offensive
player of the year, Christian McCaffrey.
So that tells you he's going to play at least 15, 16 games, and it tells you that Sam Darnold, that offense is going to score a lot of points.
Oh, if Christian McCaffrey is offensive rookie of the year, that's great news for Sam Darnold.
Who's had no running game.
And for your Carolina Panthers at 12, we're going to have them 12-5. We'll see what their predictions are later. A defensive player of the year, TJ Watt, who is not might not play week one as the Steelers are still dealing with his contract situation. Offensive rookie of the year, Mac Jones or Trevor Lawrence. And defensive rookie of the year, Micah Parsons, which I love. Comeback player of the year, Saquon Barkley. And coach of the year, Kyle Shanahan. Now, FoxBet has Brian Flores with the best odds to win coach of the year now. Shanahan at 2 and Brandon Staley at 3.
I'm going to do Frank Reich. And not because I think they're going to be great, but I think the story of fixing Carson Wentz will be a much documented, often discussed story. And I don't think they'll be great because I got issues right now. They got some injuries. Eric Fisher left tackle. Is a finger crossed? Can he stay healthy? But I think Frank Reich, if he reinvents Carson Wentz, that'll feel significant.
Yeah.
That'll feel big. And that division's got two of the three worst teams in the league. So they should win at least 10, 11 games.
What does that say about Carson Wentz, too? That he like kind of needs Frank Reich to be successful if that happens. Alabama remains at the top of the college football AP for week two, beating Miami 44-13. And Georgia jumped up to the second spot after getting a big 10-3 win over Clemson, who dropped to sixth. So right now it is Alabama 1, Georgia 2, Ohio State 3, and Oklahoma rounding out the top four. Texas A&M, Clemson, Cincinnati, Notre Dame, Iowa State, Iowa, who play this weekend, and Oregon and Ohio State play this weekend as well.
Ohio State
favored by 14.5.
I would put Texas A&M ahead of Oklahoma, but I think Clemson's a tad high. I think Notre Dame winning on the road is more impressive than people think. I think when you can take 18, 19-year-olds on the road in a hostile environment and win, I don't think we understand how hard that is. For a lot of these kids.
Yeah, it's not an easy place to win.
Yeah, it's 60, 70,000 people. A lot of these kids have not traveled. You know, they play their high school games and they go to college, and most college powers play 8 home games a year. I think Notre Dame's win on the road was really impressive, and because they really controlled most of that game until the end.
So you'd have Notre Dame
a little
over
higher.
Clemson.
I'd have Notre Dame over Clemson, and I think Texas A&M I'd have over Oklahoma. But it's a pretty good list. It's reasonable. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
He's the co-host of First Things First. Joining us now, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. So, okay, Nick Wright really likes Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And he has always seen me as picking on Aaron. But I've got to say, I try to be fair on this show. But when people start talking about my status, my stature, it's a little much. Something comes up in my throat. So you didn't like my opening rant today on Aaron's status. My status.
Well, for the self-proclaimed America's honesty broker, there sure were a lot of lies in there. So here's the deal, America, as I talk to you. If you are an avid FS1 or Colin Cowherd fan, you might remember around 5 years ago when Colin had been at, in fact, you just celebrated your 5-year or 6-year anniversary on the air, so it was maybe a little 5.5 years ago, when Colin Cowherd announced my arrival to FS1 by saying, oh, the bosses had me listen to this guy on the radio in Houston, and I said, hire him immediately. That's like my origin story here, is the bosses consulted you, a valued employee, you gave your input. Now, the folks might say, well, yeah, but that's Colin Cowherd. I mean, he is, you know, there's Howard Stern, then there's Colin Cowherd in the history of the medium. Yeah. Got it. No problem. All right, let's just go to 6 weeks ago when my dear partner Brandon Marshall left the show to go pursue some more passionate interests in the mental health field, and we had an opening. Guess who got a phone call? Your old buddy Nick Wright, the bosses. Nick, you got any thoughts on this? Damn straight I have some thoughts on this. Hire Chris Broussard. Now, luckily, that's also what they were thinking, and they did it. But this idea that valuable employees across all fields are not consulted, that we're all just, you know, punching a time clock and like, oh no, my career and everything, it's just up to the powers that be. That's not your experience, my experience. It's not Brady's experience in Tampa. You were like, oh, Patrick Mahomes. They called him about the Edwards-Helaire draft pick after he'd started 2 years. Like, you know that's true. You're just banging on Aaron. You just you wished you were on the beach drinking Mai Tais like he was, and now you're just banging on Aaron. It really, it hurts my heart, and it angers me.
All right. Well, he's got Hollywood friends I don't. Maybe there is some jealousy. All right.
Yeah.
There's a lot of young quarterbacks that are talented, and I just talked about Mac Jones. You don't have to, you know, Joy and I talked about this yesterday, as we're all talking about ceilings on all these young quarterbacks, but if you flip the telescope around and just say, well, who's not going to totally bust? The one guy you'd know is like, well, Mac Jones won't because he got the best coach and the best O-line. And like, if you flip it around and we stop talking about ceilings and just who's going to win a bunch of games? Yeah, it would probably be Mac Jones. I mean, I that's the argument I've made in the last month. We're too caught up in ceilings and we're not talking about floors. So your takeaway on the one or two rookie quarterbacks who really connect?
Well, so that I do think it's a fair argument to make that Mac Jones, you know, is maybe the least likely or second least likely to be a total flame out. But I was watching college football this weekend, and it really crystallized something for me about these rookie quarterbacks. So, Colin, I know you watched it. Did you see Clemson? And I know Clemson lost their number one receiver and running back and tackle as well. But a Clemson offense that averaged 45 points a game in Trevor Lawrence starts, scored zero touchdowns. Actually, their offense gave up more points than it scored, and they lost. And I'm like, oh, I bet Trevor Lawrence makes an instant impact with the Jags. I bet the Jags are actually better than people think. And then I watched Alabama, and I was like, oh, Bryce Young, a man you're quite familiar with, Colin. Who's he? Oh, now he's the Heisman favorite? Oh, Alabama looks awesome? Oh, Alabama looks like how it looked when Jalen was the quarterback, and then when Tua was the quarterback, and then when Mac Jones was the quarterback, and now Bryce Young's the quarterback. If I'm a Pats fan, in an odd way, obviously the saddest people about this game are Miami Hurricane fans. Sorry, Joy. But the second saddest might be Pats fans. When it's like, wait, is every guy that plays in this offense these days going to look like a star? Because they're not all going to be stars. So in an odd way, I think Bryce Young, your pal, Colin, should be making Pats fans a little nervous about how good Mac Jones actually is, because that team didn't seem to miss a beat.
You know, you brought up an interesting point the other day, and I referenced you, giving you credit, as a man of my status often does.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. You said Matt Stafford won 5 games in Detroit. He leaves. Jared Goff comes in. Vegas has a over-under at 5 wins.
5 games.
Yeah. The Rams, Goff won 10, leaves. Stafford goes to the Rams, and the over-under's 10.5. And that Vegas does not see him as transformative, a messiah, a savior. Yeah. They see Matt Stafford as, you know, talented, and maybe a little better than Jared Goff.
Yeah.
So people are, and I would admit, the Rams have a lot of great players, and I think they're very well run. But what do you make of the Stafford-McVay connection and the hype surrounding it?
Yeah, listen, you know me, Colin. I'm just a humble Midwesterner who's had a few lucky breaks in my career. And you know what I see? I see some coastal bias. I see some coastal elite media. I mean, Peter King says, your friend Peter King said he's going to win MVP. They're going to win the Super Bowl. And he might throw for 6,000 yards. I'm like, well, that's fancy. Because he threw for 5,000 once. And they're like, oh, he has an extra game. Oh, so in the extra game, he's going to throw for 1,000 yards and he's going to have Calvin Johnson back like he did when he threw for 5,000. The idea that Matt Stafford, who got drafted by the Lions right after W. Bush left office, and that team was never good. The idea that he wears none of it. That Doug Farrar just tweeted out Matt Stafford's record against teams with a winning record. 8-68. The worst by far of any quarterback in the last 20 years. That none of it's his fault. Oh, what'd you expect him to do in Detroit? Well, I don't know. He had Calvin Johnson and Marvin Jones and Golden Tate and Kenny Golladay. I don't know. How about this? Here's what I expect him to do. Win a playoff game. One. Win one playoff game. Like, oh, I don't know. Mark Sanchez won four of them. I think he'll be good. I think the Rams will be good because I think Goff was objectively bad and he's better than that. But this idea that Matt Stafford had no agency over the fact that the Lions stunk for a decade and that he wears none of it, I think it's a little, you know, it's anti-Rust Belt bias. They're like, oh, Detroit, it's all Detroit's fault. But now he's in the big city, L.A. He's going to be great. I just don't know if I buy it.
No, that's interesting. That's an interesting take. So I don't even need to mostly ask this, your Super Bowl pick. I know one of them. I do think Tampa feels significantly better than the second best team in the NFC. I think Kansas City feels better. I'm just not sure how much better than Buffalo, but I think they're better. That's kind of, you know, I think there's a lot of arguments in the AFC, yep. A little injury here or there to, you know, an offensive lineman for Kansas City, and yeah, I don't know. So your Super Bowl pick. What's your Super Bowl pick?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense that Kansas City, you know, Buffalo, who's never beaten Kansas City since Mahomes been there, and they actually played each other in the AFC Championship game, and after spotting Buffalo a double-digit lead, the Chiefs reeled off a 38-6 run like an AAU basketball team. Yeah, it's real close. Josh Allen, he's had one great year of football in his life since junior high, but yeah, he should be the MVP. I saw your guys' little segment before that. Yeah, Josh Allen, MVP, why not? Why not? He's been good, really good once in a decade. But yeah, he'll catch Mahomes and Reed and Tyreek and Kelsey, sure. Meanwhile, the Bucs, the gap is massive. Did we not watch the same playoffs where Heinicke is within a score in the first round and they're down 10 to Drew Brees, who can't throw the ball more than 8 yards, and they are one very, very questionable pass interference flag on a Brady incompletion away from Rodgers getting the ball back down 5. So, no, we're going to get this year the Super Bowl we should have gotten last year. Chiefs, Packers. And we're going to get the result we should have gotten last year. Chiefs over Packers. And I don't have your beloved Bucks making the conference championship game. I think San Francisco is going to be outstanding. And talk about a Final Four from hell if this happens for Colin Cowherd. You've got on one side, you got Baker. You got my obnoxiousness with Kansas City. You have Aaron Rodgers, who, God forbid, he might actually ask them to decide when the plane leaves. So ask him about that if he makes another Super Bowl. And Tom Brady nowhere to be seen. That's my Final Four with the Chiefs winning it.
Well, it's not highly unlikely. I don't think it's as likely as you make it out to be, but it's not highly unlikely. Well, this was a good meeting for us, and hope things are going well for you.
This is fun.
By the way,
missed you guys.
Since he got Broussard, look at his hairstyle. It's all jazzy, and it's all new age, and you look very progressive, very
hip.
Oh,
yeah. That's right. Yeah. So it's either that or I work out right before I come on with you every time, so it's messed up, and I just do this and do my best. I'm like, oh, I got to be on TV again. It's one of the two. I'm not sure. Or maybe it's Broussard.
Good seeing
I'll see you
buddy.
Next time.
Good seeing you. Nick Wright. By the way, he's the league's best salesman. Certainly not the best owner in terms of football operations, but man, he can sell, and he was doing it again yesterday.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Kickoff Week is sponsored by Las Vegas, your home for all live sports, every game, match, race, and competition. It is always on.
I'm thinking about going to Vegas this weekend.
Yeah, party it up?
Well, not really. Hang out with my son.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes, of course.
Plus, it's my daughter's birthday.
Oh.
Take her friends to lunch, maybe, something like that.
Lots of fancy restaurants there.
Yeah, they got a lot. Yeah, again, they have. There's one restaurant in Vegas that I think is out of this world. You get a fountain show with it. But if I say it, I'm out of that game of bragging about my dentist, my doctors, and my restaurants because you
and
can never
and hotels.
You just can't. You why?
I think I'm with you on that. I used to feel like it was a bit selfish, but now I understand because you don't want your places overrun with humans. Ugh.
It's yeah, reservations.
You gotta be a little more exclusive with stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Picky choosy.
So Hard Knocks, the big finale last night. And, you know, there was a moment with Jerry Jones, got a little emotional talking about Dak. And Dallas deserves credit. Tony Romo was undrafted and they got Dak in the fourth round. So that's hard to do, to find really good quarterbacks. Romo and Dak are good quarterbacks. And they, you know, didn't pay anything for them combined for the first 8-9 years they were in the league. But Jerry, it was funny watching it because Jerry is increasingly, he's got, always got a pitch. And he was talking about Dak. He said, the nature, the aura, it's just there. The heart, what's inside. That's a toughie. And he talked about all this stuff. And the last 20 years, I always feel like Jerry, it's a sales pitch. And with Aikman and Jimmy Johnson, it was just football. They weren't pitching me anything. I feel Jerry is, you know, there's a reason that a used car salesman, there's a stigma, right? The used car salesman comes in, hey, this beauty just got on the lot. Look at those fresh tires. It's the nicest 94 Nissan Sentra you've ever seen. A little bit of a sales pitch. You know, when you walk in and something's really good, you don't have to pitch it. You go into a Mercedes dealer. You know what a Mercedes salesman does? They take you to the floor and they say, look around. That's what they say. Tell me when you're ready. Let me know if you have any questions. That's what they do at elite car dealerships. Tell me if you have any questions. Why don't you just look around? They don't pitch you. Oh, fresh tires. This 97 Camry is money. Don't pitch me. I feel like Jerry's pitching me. And I like Dak. But since the start of 2019, the start, he's got one win over a playoff team. 9-7 Philadelphia. And later that year, he played him again, and he was awful. So he's good. He's fine. But I do feel like I'm getting Jerry, who's always been a salesman. Jerry's got one of my favorite lines ever about being a salesman, because Jerry is a salesman, and he's obviously very good at being a salesman. But he said that my favorite Jerry Jones line on being a salesman, I'll read it here. There are five keys to being a good salesman. Number one, ask for money. And I've forgotten the other four. So I think Jerry's really good at that. But I do feel sometimes that a little bit of a sales pitch on Dak. Just let him play. He's not beating enough good teams. We'll see how he goes. Revamp the offensive line. Here's something else. Now, top of the hour, I am going to give my final, my second and final amendment for my NFL predictions. And last year, we got like 10 or 11 teams right of the 16, all of them in the AFC. So the one thing, sometimes I get ahead of myself. I get, you know, I get ramped up on this show and I get ramped up and then people have to bring me down a little bit. Nick Wright's trying to bring me down on my criticism of Aaron Rodgers. So I was a doubter on New England. Then I went crazy town last week and I'm like 12, 13 wins. I've slept on it. They will be better than my initial prediction. I got a little ahead of my skis on that. But I will say, I do think New England is one of these elite 8-10 teams that nobody's really talking about. And I think it's because replacing star quarterbacks is easier than you think. If you go to Jim Kelly in Buffalo, Joe Theismann, Washington, Dan Marino in Miami, John Elway, Joe Montana, Brett Favre, Roger Staubach. These are legends, by the way. These are all-time guys. The team was fine within a year. Many of them made the playoffs the following year. I mean, Washington 2 years later won a Super Bowl. And Theismann is probably the best quarterback in league history that's not in the Hall of Fame. He won a Super Bowl. He was MVP. He was a great player. So my gut is I like betting football games. I don't play fantasy football. I am a bettor. I bet games. Blazing Five debuts Friday. And I always look for the exact same thing. I look for value. I look for a good quarterback getting points. And I think New England now, if I said to you, coach, coordinator, defense, special teams, O-line, run game, I think all of you would say B-plus or above. Not a lot of teams B plus or above. The quarterback becomes much less crucial the greater the coach, the O-line, the run game, the defense, and the special teams are. Miami last year is a great example, and they didn't have a run game. They won 10 games with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Tua. So I think New England is going to be a little bit Miami this year. They're a double-digit win team, and I'll talk about all of them. Hour two, it's the Herd.